Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone here this morning. Beautiful day out so far. At least I don't think there's any white stuff falling yet. No? Okay. So welcome to all of you. Some announcements that I'll need to go over as we move on with our worship service. Several things. First Christian Education Committee. We have a meeting today after service in the consistory room, so please remember that. Soup Kitchen is coming up, less than a month away now. The sign-up sheets are all there in the social hall against the west wall. So please take time to look at those. We need everybody's help to make this happen. There's a lot of mission work that goes out from this soup kitchen. And it's a fun time of fellowship as well. So please take time to do that. Next Sunday evening, we're having a youth rally here. It's in the bulletin. You see the announcements. The only little change up, I guess, is that is talking with the youth leaders of the different churches that are involved. As far as supper, we thought, how do we ever plan if supper's for everybody? So, sorry, but supper is for the youth and their advisors, okay? And then 7 o'clock, the rally is open to whosoever. So hope you can all come. The praise group is from Armor, a group of high school, and I think some college-age students from there that will be providing the music. Casey Comstock, he grew up in Scotland. He's gone to seminary. He's part of a church plant down in Papillion, Nebraska. He'll be speaking that night. So you are all welcome. This and the special offering we'll be receiving for Ty Belvin and his family, his mom, Tina. We all know what a medical expenses can be. Can be a lot. And then everything else that goes with it. So that'll be the special offering that evening. There's an announcement. Let me say this first. There's an announcement in there about our care center here in Menno. We're at a critical time here between now and the end of the year. So there, if you could help in any way, I mean, if we all do our part, I think we can get over a big hurdle here and get on our feet again. Again, if you need to talk to some of the board members, please do. Larry Kirschman serves on the board, and Fred Schultz, and Linda Hondel, Jody Clute, and Galen Guth-Miller. So ask, talk to them, okay? As it says, we want to keep this going. We need to keep this going in our community. We really do. There's pledge envelopes available out there in the narthex on the table if you think about helping in whatever way you can. For Hillary Wade, she is one of our high school seniors. Next Sunday afternoon, she's doing her senior project here in the social hall. It talks about that in the bulletin. But we put the basket out once more if you'd like to help with some of the expenses of that, the canvas for the painting and all. And I'll let you read more about it in your bulletin. The high schoolers, we did raking yesterday. There was couple rakes found. One rake, if any of your parents, if your child did not come home from a rake and you chewed them out because of it, we probably have it, okay? So, or if kids, if you didn't come home with your rake, then talk to Tricia after church, all right? So you can rake your leaves at home for your own house. Lastly, veterans. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. God bless you all. I'd like for you to stand, please, all the veterans here, and if you're active service right now in the Guards or full-time, whatever it is. Amen. Amen. Just wait. You don't, oh well. Okay, Eugene Weidenbach, you stay standing. He is our World War II veteran. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Amen. 98 years old. Wow. And we have all the way down, Korean and Vietnam and Gulf War and all the way down and currently. So God bless all of you for your service to make this nation what it is today. We thank God for every one of you. Tomorrow, if you didn't get the word, there is a Veterans Day program at the high school. The kids, youth, high schoolers, middle schoolers, I guess, are putting it on at 1 o'clock in the new gym, and then there'll be coffee and whatever afterwards for the veterans and their spouses. So 1 o'clock in the new gym tomorrow. Lastly, I just want to, if you didn't look at the POW MIA display in the social hall, please do that. Take your kids there. I have to say, with both confirmation groups, I took them out there on the break and read through this with them. And to my surprise, and maybe they were nervous to answer me, but usually they're not, I asked both groups, what does POW mean? And only one out of 23 of them could tell me. So they should know now what it means. So talk to your kids about this. Show what that is there. It's very important, okay? Sorry, kids, I told on you. Okay, but we need to know. Lots of other announcements. Please read them as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do love you. And we think upon you all the time. Throughout our day, whatever we do, we are thinking upon you, Jesus, and your word, and your sacrifice. As we sang there just recently, and once again, I think on the cross. How you hung there in our place, Jesus. How you shed your blood for us. How you became sin for us. You who knew no sin became sin that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ. And so we praise you for that, Father, for your great plan of redemption, for your amazing love for each one of us, for your amazing grace that you pour out upon us. And we give you all of our praise. And let your word, the truth of your word, continue to march forward throughout our nation. As we will sing, your truth is marching on. Lord, bless our time together. Fill this place with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so our opening hymn will be the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Let's stand together, please, as we sing that. Thank you, Marina. Thank you for your beautiful singing. Praise the Lord. His truth is marching on. Why don't you greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Okay, we will have our sharing of joys and concerns, and it is a joy to see all these high schoolers sitting up here. They'll be singing for us later. So, a couple things that I have written down. Continued prayers for Leroy Fisher. That would be, well, a lot of you know him, Jason's older brother, and there's a lot of boys in there. He was in a truck accident last, I think, Wednesday. And he's in the hospital in Sioux City. I'm not sure how responsive he is right now with things. There was a brain bleed as a result of the accident. But once he gets a little better, then he'll go to Lincoln, to a hospital there for rehab therapy. So be praying for him. Also, just continued prayers for Devin Bent's mom. I don't know, are they here, Melanie? Do you have any... any update, Devin? Okay. Okay. Still trying to decide a course of action. Her name is Diane. I want to mention, Gary Gramko's older brother, his name is Robert, and he's got some very serious heart issues going on. He lives in Sioux Falls, so just prayers for him and decisions of what to do there. Otherwise, anything else? Tricia. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we had about 15 of our high schoolers that we did raking yesterday at the care center and did 4 yards in town. And yes, they are an awesome, amazing blessing, all of them. So thank you for your help. Anybody else over here? Zoe?
It's his birthday.
Today? What day?
A big one.
A big one. Ron Schaefer's having a big birthday on the 14th. Happy birthday, Ron. Okay, how about over here? Okay, well, let's bow our heads in prayer then. Father, thank you for this time, as always, that we get to share and lift these joys of birthdays up to you. I imagine there's some anniversaries. Thank you for blessing these individuals, Father. Certainly, we pray and thank you for our veterans that are here with us today and across our nation, and also our active military personnel in whatever capacity they're serving. Thank you for them. Thank you so much, Father, for their sacrifice, of whether it is ongoing or whether it was in the past. Just we ask your blessing upon them. Upon all of our troops, Lord, around our nation and around our world that serve and help other people groups trying to let them have better lives. Lord, we continue to pray for our nation, asking for the outpouring of your Spirit upon us, asking for healing by the Spirit of the living God, asking for revival to this land, that we would turn the heart, that you would turn the hearts of the nation back to your word and the truth of it, and bring repentance, Lord, we pray. Father, we want to lift up Devin Bent's mom, Diane, as they're just discerning which way to go for treatment for her. Lord, she needs your healing touch. And we thank you for watching over her. For Gary's older brother, Robert, the same, Lord, we ask for wisdom there as they get a second opinion and decide if what can be done. We just ask for you to watch over him. We pray, Lord, for Leroy Fisher and Ty Belvin, Lord, and as we thank you for your healing throughout their bodies. For Ty, Lord, as we hear of progress being made, it is incredible. And to you be all the glory and the praise. Lord, for someone here this morning with an unspoken prayer request of a need for healing, I lift that one up to you and I just ask you to minister your healing power throughout their being, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the weather that you gave us this last week and that we've had a good number of days without moisture. Thank you for all that's been able to happen in the field. But in that, Lord, we just pray for the Midwest region of our nation and the struggles that are affecting many other areas of manufacturing and jobs in that way and far beyond. Lord, we know that you are our source and our provider. And we look to you as such. Thank you for our high school students, Lord. You've blessed us with such a big bunch of them right now, and we love them all very much. Thank you for watching over them and filling them with your spirit and letting their hearts be on fire for you, to serve you, to live for you, to love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So before the offering, we have some new members to receive here this morning. So John and Mick, if you want to come, and Hunter and Peyton, if you want to come up here, please. Okay. A lot of you know John and Michelle. We know her as Mick, and we're certainly blessed to have them as a part of our congregation here. John works, well, probably mostly in Yankton, but he is the highway maintenance supervisor, yeah, and for the Yankton area, which includes Menno, Tyndall, and Yankton. Sort of took over Larry Kirschman's job when he retired. And Mick works at Stewart Elementary in Yankton as with the hearing impaired and the deaf. She does sign language. And that, Peyton is a sophomore here at Menno High School. Hunter is in his second year up at Mitchellville Tech in? Precision Ag. I thought, but okay, in Precision Ag. So, praise the Lord. God bless you. So, I have the questions which we talked about and I sent to you as well, and these are it. So, first of all, and most importantly, do you acknowledge and profess that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Second, do you promise to be Christ's disciples, to follow his word and his will for your lives, to resist evil and oppression in the world through the power of the Holy Spirit? If so, answer, we do. Third, do you promise, according to the grace given you, to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating his presence and furthering his mission in all the world? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
And fourth, do you promise to participate in the life and mission of this family of God's people, sharing regularly in the worship of God and enlisting in the work of this congregation as it serves this community and the world? If so, answer, we do. Thank you. And I have to say, you know, Mick has just jumped right in. She's directing our high school choir, so praise the Lord. You'll see that in a little bit. Let's have a prayer here. Father, I do thank you for this family, John and Michelle and Peyton and Hunter. Lord, I've known John many, many years, and some here have known them and Michelle all of their years and the kids. And Lord, we thank you for them, for the gifts you've put within them, for their faithfulness to serve this community and you in many ways that they do. Thank you for blessing them, keeping John and Mick especially safe as they travel back and forth to Yankton. Hunter, as he's up there in school at Mitchell, guide him and direct him for what you have following, Lord. And Peyton, as she's in our high school here, thank you for the joy that she brings to all of us. I ask, Lord, for your hand of protection upon this family. In Jesus' name, amen. So there'll be a response here coming on the screen. I will read the first part. Let us, the members of Salem Reformed Church, express our welcome to John, Michelle, Hunter, and Peyton Huber, and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ. We welcome you with joy in the common life of this church. We promise you in the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of Salem Reformed Church, we extend to you the hand of Christian love and welcome you into the company of this local church. Let's give my hand. Thank you, guys. Amen. I want to read from Romans chapter 14, verse 17 and 18 before we receive our offering here this morning. This is from the New Living Translation. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and other people will approve of you also. To receive our offering and tithe this morning. Praise God from the heart, blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Father, we do praise you with all of our heart, spirit, soul, and body. We give you our highest praise, thanking you for your goodness, thanking you that we are a part of your kingdom, that your kingdom is not food or drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And certainly it is joy unspeakable and full of glory that you pour into us each and every day, for your joy is our strength. And we give with hearts of joy this morning. So, Lord, we ask as always for you to take these gifts and multiply them for the work of your kingdom throughout this region and even beyond, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. The children want to come to the Kingdom Kids time, and I forgot to mention with John and Mick that Mick's parents are here from Scotland, Bob and Judy Green, and Mick's grandma, Darlene Auk. A lot of you know them, so welcome to you guys also.
Good morning, boys and girls. How are you all today? It's good to see everybody up here. Well, I have something. What's this? Have you ever seen one of these before? Oh, of course you have. That's a silly question. Well, how would you come across getting one of these? What would you do to get one of these?
Walk around the house 4 times.
Walk around the house? Bike around the house, and then you get a reward? All right. Does somebody give you a dollar, like maybe your birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a way. Anybody else?
If somebody gives you a dollar to go to something.
To go to something, they give you money, yeah. Do you ever work for it? Do you get chores and maybe you get some money? You can lose a tooth and get money, right? You have one more. How do you get this? You do jobs, right. You do jobs. Well, this dollar bill, who does this dollar bill belong to? Right now. Me, right? Can I do anything I want with it? I can. And I'm going to ask these two girls to come up because they're visitors. Come here. Would you help me? Okay. I know that you're Lori and Rusty's kids. What? Tell me your name.
Emerson
and? Caitlin. Stand over here so everybody can see you, okay? So this is a dollar bill, actually. Since there's two of you, I have $2 bills. And it belongs to me right now, right? Would you like this?
Yeah.
You would? You would? Okay. Now, are you earning anything to get this? I'm just giving it to you, right? Because it's mine. You've done nothing, right? But you get that. You get that dollar, right? Okay, cool. That's theirs. Well, this reminds me. You can go sit down now. Thanks. This reminds me of grace. Grace is what God gives us. He gives us grace so that we can be saved. It's not that we don't have to work for it. Did they have to work for that $2?
No.
No, they didn't have to do anything. And neither do we. Because it's God's gift to us. We just have to receive it. They just had to take it, right? In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "And this, for grace you have been saved through faith." So it's our faith in God that he sent Jesus for us. And this is not of ourselves. It is a gift from God. So those girls received a gift from me. But we can all receive a gift from God. And that's Jesus. That's salvation. And when we get that, we get everything. And it says it's not by works So we can't boast. We can't say, I read the Bible more, so I'm going to get saved, or I'm coming to Sunday school more, so I get saved. No, it's not by anything we do. It's only by God's loving us. That's grace. All right? So do we have to work to be saved? No. How do we get it? Through God. It's a gift, right? It's a gift. And I do have a few more of these, so Pastor Mike and I would like to give all of you who came up here a gift. All right? Do you want that?
Yeah.
All right, I figured you did. All right, let's pray first. Wait. We have to wait. I know, money talks, right? All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you so much for giving Jesus your gift to us by grace. We didn't deserve him, just like we don't deserve this dollar we're going to get. They didn't do anything for us to get this, and we don't do anything to get you. We just receive, and we thank you for that. Help us to understand it is by grace that we are saved. Bless these boys and girls wherever they go this week. Help them to love others and to be a shining light for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so you get a dollar, and then you go that way. All right? You're welcome.
Here I am.
Here, Pastor Mike has some too. Take it.
Oops,
it just dropped. Oh, you guys are dropping it.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. There you go, buddy. Good job coming up here. Good job. You're welcome. Thank you for saying thank you.
The high schoolers are going to sing for us today.
Thank you.
Amen. That brings tears to your eyes. Does mine, anyway. Thank you, Mick. And all the high school students and parents who see to it that they're here so faithfully. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing grace poured out upon all of us. The chains are gone. We've been set free because of you, Jesus. It is in Christ alone, by grace alone, by faith alone, through Scripture alone. And to you, Lord God, alone be all of the glory and all of the praise. We thank you so much for the work you're doing in each of our lives, in our midst, in the lives of these high school students again, Lord. Praise, we give praise to you and for your word that tells us of your grace. Lord, open again our hearts and minds and eyes as we look into it this morning. I ask, Father, for you to speak through me once again by your Spirit today, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint. I know you're probably all wanting to finish with the Psalms of Ascent, which we have one more to do, but I just had to go a little different direction today with Veterans Day tomorrow. And so Ephesians chapter 2, a very familiar passage to us. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. Amen. Before I start in the message, Jennifer Herbold, thank you too, wherever you're at, for the piano playing. Okay, I didn't say that earlier. Thank you. So again, with tomorrow being Veterans Day, and I just wanted to go a little direction, different direction here. We'll, God willing, go back and finish that up next Sunday, Psalm 134. But once again, to the vets and our active military, thank you for the freedoms that you and have won for us, for the freedoms we enjoy, for the victories that have been won for this nation. God bless America. I think of 1 Timothy chapter 2. This, let me just read this verse real quick. Get there. Chapter 2, verse 1, where the Apostle Paul says, I urge then first of all that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. And then he narrows it down. For kings and all of those in authority. Why? So that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's why we pray for our nation and our leaders earnestly. So, and we do. I say this many times. My belief is and feeling that we live in the best part of the country that there is to live in. And truly we are blessed here with this type of living, peaceful and quiet lives. When we see the news and around the world and Mexico, the great tragedy there this last week and in the Middle East, we can't even imagine what it would be like to live with our homes being bombed out and seeing all that. Well, the World War II vet and those, they were over there, so they can. But our freedoms, what an amazing blessing. And so thank you again. And so we want to focus on Christ, though, and our freedom and that we've gained in Christ, which is all the more amazing because of His grace. Grace, I came upon this definition, I think probably 2 years ago when we were celebrating actually the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and we were looking at the five solas, we call them, by grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, to God alone be the glory. And I came across this definition at that time that I so enjoyed, it stayed with me, and it's in your outline. Grace defined as the extraordinary intervention of God in human history. The extraordinary intervention of God in human history. And when was that? Bethlehem. When Christ was born as a man there and lived and went to the cross, God intervened. Yes, did He intervene before that? Yes, many times. But His ultimate intervention in human history was then. And praise the Lord for it by His grace. So when we look through this passage, just four things I want to touch on a little bit here this morning. Number one, what we were. What we were before Jesus Christ. Verse 1, as for you, you were dead. Dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live. Every one of us. You might say, well, I never remember a time without Christ. Probably. If you were raised in a Christian home and your parents had you baptized and brought you to church, praise the Lord. What a wonderful example. What a wonderful blessing, I should say, to be brought up that way. But there are many thousands upon thousands who have not had that privilege. And as we know, and I say often, it is not just being baptized alone that does it. Our salvation. It's not just by confirmation. That's the testimony of our faith in Christ. But we were dead. He said we weren't just a little bit sick, like in the natural. If you get a cold, if you get the flu, something, that's no fun, is it? Sometimes, especially the stomach flu, and you're doing, you know what comes with it, and you're about like, I think I'm going to die, you know? Especially if you have it happen when you're out on the road somewhere in your suit and tie. And it's coming out both ends. If I need to say any more, sorry. Happened to me once. Since I've been in Menno, I know the spot every time I drive by there. Highway 18 and 37, right there. This wasn't in my notes. I just have to tell you. Thankfully, there was a lot of big round hay bales on the south side. I whipped in there and whoo! And I did not get to go where I was going. I had to come home. Now you know the rest of the story, sort of. No, we were dead spiritually. We weren't just sick. We were dead, separated from Christ, from the life of God. Spiritually dead means no response to Him. When He's drawing and trying to lead and just dead. And you know what? This is written in the letter to the church at Ephesus, the book of Ephesians. So where were they at? Where was the church of Ephesus at spiritually when Paul comes to them and starts preaching the gospel? They were, I tell you what, the devil had a stronghold over that city of Ephesus. And he does today, certain areas, him and his demonic forces, they will have strongholds over certain areas. And they do not like to give that up easily. And so Paul's at Ephesus. There is revival happening. Acts chapter 19 tells much about it. Revival's happening. It even says there in one of the verses that extraordinary, God was doing extraordinary miracles through the hand of Paul. So much so that they would take handkerchiefs or aprons, touch his body, and take those and go to the people that were sick and put that handkerchief on them, and they were being healed. Miracles. People were being delivered from demonic oppression, and on it goes. It says, actually, in verse 17, because of this revival, the name of Jesus was being held in high honor in Ephesus. It says in verse 20 of 19, Acts chapter 19, in this way the word of the Lord spread quickly and grew in power. But you know what? Not everybody is happy when the Spirit of God is moving. And I pray, always, you hear me almost every Sunday asking for revival to our nation. When Ann and I pray together in the mornings, often I pray that way for our nation, for our community, our state. Be amazing. And I pray it will happen. But you know what? When it does, there are going to be people very mad. When God starts moving, the people that are controlled by Satan himself get very upset. In Acts 19, it talks about Demetrius, a guy. See, Ephesus, that was the place where it says, does not the whole world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian temple of the great Artemis? She's also called Diana. Of her image that fell from heaven, that was the false cult that was predominant in the city of Ephesus. And this guy, Demetrius, he made his living by making silver shrines of this false goddess. And was he mad? Oh, he was mad. And so were all the people who were in that false cult, who were not getting saved. And they stirred up this big riot in the city, and it was not a good thing. I'm not going into all the detail of that. But that's what happens in spiritually dead situations. Not good things. Second, so who used to rule over us? If we were dead, who used to rule over us? Verse 2. Let me read verse 1 again. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that's Satan, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You say, well, I don't know that I ever consciously followed the devil. I mean, what are you talking about? Are you talking about demonic possession? Could be, but probably not. Basically, there are two kingdoms in this world. There is God's kingdom, which we enter through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and there is Satan's kingdom. How do you enter that? Basically, we're born into it, spiritually dead. So if we're not in God's kingdom, we're in the other kingdom by default. That's just how it is. He's the ruler called there, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. There's other places Paul refers to Satan as the god, little g, of this world. Jesus himself said in John's gospel, he called him the prince of this world. Paul again in Ephesians 6:12, he says, we wrestle against these spiritual forces of wickedness. And so we do. And the bondage that the enemy of our souls tries to put people in is very great. The things he did through the Old Testament, the things we've seen even in our lifetimes. Ann and I, just the other night, came across this. It was a different movie about Corrie ten Boom, a newer version, I guess. And, you know, you just think back to World War II and how could one man, Adolf Hitler, deceive an entire army and people group to want to destroy another race of people, the Jewish people, just because that's how they were born? How can evil be so horrible like that? Because Satan is real. And he hates the Jewish people because that's the race that Jesus was born into, our Messiah. And you look at that, and now they'd round them up like cattle. I hope you know the stories, please. And our children need to know that could never happen again, we think. And yet in other countries today, it goes on of other races of people. Because Satan, John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I, he said about himself, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so he came to break that. Like the kids sang, my chains are gone. I've been set free in Christ. It is true. The third point, but God, what? He chose to intervene, right? That's the definition I gave you of grace today, the extraordinary intervention of God in human history. He chose to intervene. The New King James starts out that fourth verse of Ephesians 2, but God. NIV, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. By grace alone. We crossed over from death, spiritual death, to life. Aren't you glad? Why, praise the Lord. Some, you know, yes, if we've grown up knowing about Jesus and learning that, as I said earlier, it is an incredible blessing. And sometimes I think we just take it for granted. And we get lax with it in our homes and our families if we're not careful. We've got to be so diligent and disciplined with our children, our grandchildren. We have lived places where God's word was not priority at all, and we have seen the darkness that is a result of it. And it is no fun. No fun. And we're blessed to live in a, by and large, Christian community. Certainly there's many all around us who do not know Jesus. But when you have a whole area who does not know Jesus, it is not good and it is not fun. It's by grace, God's grace. See, he started the work. It's not by works. We can't boast in anything we've done. God started it. He initiated that work by his Holy Spirit in each of our hearts. We use the phrase, well, I came to know the Lord, and I've said that many times in phrases, but really, I found the Lord. Well, really, it's God. He's doing the work all the time, drawing us to himself through many different situations and circumstances in our life, trying to open the eyes of our understanding to him. He initiated the work of the Holy Spirit. He drew us to himself. He has done it all. Praise the Lord. Fourth, God's blessings poured out, we see in these last verses. God's blessings poured out upon us because of his grace. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we're seated with him. I believe, sometime after the first of the year, I looked back, I was surprised how long it's been since I really did a series of who we are in Christ. And that is so important. We've got to know it and know it and know it. Because we are seated in him, in the heavenly realms, and the blessings, I'm not going into all that this morning, they are incredible. You're more than a conqueror in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are a new creation in Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All your needs are met in Christ, and there's more beyond that. And that's how God sees you, in Christ, if Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. The blessings, he says, why do we need to know that? In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And then he says it again, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. Because of God's grace, our lives are changed in incredible ways. We've had the song, the kids sang it. We're going to sing the traditional hymn as we close in a couple minutes here. But I want to, and maybe you know the story, maybe not, about the man that God used to write the words of that hymn. This is his story. On July 24th, 1725, so we're coming on 300 years ago, this little boy was born in the British Empire to the commander of a merchant ship. His mother died when he was just a child. She tried to give him some instruction in the Word of God as a little boy, but by age 11, she had died, and he joined his father at sea. As he grew, he soon forgot about any religious convictions he may have had as a child, and turning to very ungodly and an immoral life, as was typical for those crews at sea. You can only imagine, right? The British slave trade was at its height during this time. English traders raided the African coast on the Gulf of Guinea and captured between 35,000 and 50,000 Africans every year, shipping them across the Atlantic and selling them into slavery. It was a profitable business that many powerful people had become dependent on. Does that just blow your mind? I can't imagine what people do to other people. This young man, as he grew up, soon became the captain of his own ship, bringing thousands of African slaves across the Atlantic back to Great Britain. Of course, we know it happened in our own nation too. Back to the verse 2 of the text, following the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who now works in those who are disobedient. The devil does not care one iota about a human life other than to destroy it. However, on a homeward voyage, while he was attempting to steer the ship through a violent storm, and when all seemed lost and the ship would surely sink, this man fell to his knees and cried out to God, "Lord, have mercy upon us." And God heard his cry. That day was May 10th, 1748, the day when this young man, 22 years old, fell to his knees on that ship in repentance before God Most High, calling out to Jesus Christ to forgive him of his sin and asking him to save him. And God did. That man is none other, and it's in your outline, you probably know, than John Newton, who went on to become an evangelistic preacher in the Church of England and a wonderful hymn writer who wrote the words of the beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace, that we all love so much. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, he said. A wretch. We are all that. You know, I know in modern hymns they've said, we got to take that word wretch out. No, that's too offensive. And that sometimes you find it, who saved a one like me. You know what? We were all a wretch and are without Jesus Christ. What does that word even mean? It is a miserably unhappy person, despicable, a vile person. And he knew, he saw his sin. That's what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7 about him, his own self when he came to Christ. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And then he answered it, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus, right? Paul, who was steeped in religion, knew much of the Old Testament by memory, the law. He knew the law of the Old Testament inside and out, but yet he did not know the law giver. Could know a whole lot about the Bible, had knowledge, but if it's not here in our hearts where it needs to be, doesn't do much good. We must have a living relationship with God as our Father. And so it is. And so just to back to John Newton real quick, if you don't know, after his conversion to Christ, he went back to England and started to preach against the slave trade that was happening. And he found a young man that he mentored named William Wilberforce. How'd you like a name like that? William Wilberforce, who would eventually God would use to stop the slave trade in Great Britain. Praise the Lord. And so as we sing this closing hymn, just think of the words of it all, his amazing grace to us, and search your own heart. I always want to challenge us to grow deeper in our walk with the Lord. Always draw closer to him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I don't know, Lord, if we realize the fullness of your grace poured out upon us, but I pray today, here and as we sing this closing hymn, that somehow you could give us a greater revelation of your grace and your mercy and of what we would be without you, Jesus. And what we can be as we serve you more earnestly and faithfully each and every day of our lives. Thank you for coming when we were lost and dead in our sins and making us alive with Christ. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amazing Grace, number 343. You'll find it in your hymnal. The words are on the screen. Let's stand, please. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Yes, when we've been there 10,000 years, singing your praises, we've no less days to sing than when we first begun. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Please receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you. I need to say one, you may be seated. I forgot to say, there are these boxes for the Samaritan's Purse gift out there. If you need a box for that, next Sunday is the last Sunday to bring those. Okay? Thank you, Marina, for the beautiful music.